to the apostolic ministry of Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., who is the founder of the School of Ministry. I'm always thankful for he and the royal family and for the things that God has put in him to impart and put in us. I tell you, our lives can never be the same. The darker it gets, the brighter it gets for us. So tonight we're going to go over chapters 9 and 10 in the book, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy. And so chapter 9, we're going to talk about the gift of the word of knowledge. And then in chapter 10, we're going to talk about moving in the gift of the word of knowledge. So let us begin. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verses 9 and 10. For we know in part, and notice that, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Partial knowledge or revelation knowledge is continual in this age until the perfect comes. The perfect is not the canon of scriptures, but Jesus, who is coming again in person. Revelation knowledge is available until we come face to face with Christ at his second coming. The accessibility of what we can know now in revelation knowledge is limited to what God has given unto us in his written word. Through God's written word, we only know in part. What does that mean? We only know the fragment or the part that God gives to us out of his mind.
No new revelation
could come which is not already given in the part and is made known unto us in his written word. New Testament prophets, they function in line with the word and they only illuminate that which is that which have already been made known to us in part. Ephesians 4, 11 and 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now notice this. Number one, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Prophets help us to interpret and to illuminate the portions of the written word that has been unfolded to them. The present day revelation flow makes the written word relevant for our times. We do not need revelation knowledge in heaven, and we do not need revelation knowledge after the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gifts of the Holy Spirit there for us. According to 1 Corinthians 12, they are for us to use in this earth realm and to help us to be a good witness on this earth. Now, there are two realms of revelation knowledge. Number one is the illuminative realm of revelation. Illuminative revelation is that which enlightens mainly the truths that are recorded in the written word. It is the revelation of the word. It also illuminates principles that are in God's word that are applicable to special needs or situations in the lives of those that are receiving the word. Now let's read Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give unto you. Now notice this, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us, the saints. Number two is informative revelation. The realm of informative revelation contains specific information that is made known to the prophet and prophetic ministers by the spirit of revelation and through the revelation gifts. And you understand that none of this takes part apart from the Holy Spirit. It includes the realm of revelation and prediction. Now, Acts chapter 11, let's read verses 27 through 28. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one whose name was Agabus. And Agabus signified by the Holy Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, it's important. Now, turn to Amos 3:7, because I think this is another scripture that would serve us well to go along with those two particular verses. Amos 3 and 7 says, surely the Lord God, notice this phrase, he will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servant, the prophet. So in other words, what God wants us to know, we should never be caught off guard. Why? Because God is always giving us the information ahead of time. You know, in St. John chapter 16, I don't have time to go to it, but you read St. John 16, 12 through about the 16th verse, and it talks about how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, that he will lead and guide us into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And then he will also show us things to come. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one, you know, God is omnipotent and he's omniscient and he's omnipresent. He knows the end from the beginning. So nothing that goes on in time surprises God, because time was set in eternity. Time was set in eternity. So we have eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future. It's all about eternity, because God never ceases to exist. He just is. And that's important to understand. That's why the Bible says God knows the end from the beginning. He's Alpha and he's Omega. So these prophetic gifts, these men and women that God chooses and puts his spirit in, they're able to show us things to come, because they are getting that information from the infinite one. The definition of the word of knowledge. It is the Holy Spirit's. Notice this. It is the Holy Spirit's supernatural revelation. Stop. Let me tell you what that means. Revelation is knowledge that is imparted or comes to us from God alone. It's not acquired knowledge. It's not book knowledge. It's not you hanging out with somebody. It's not something you learn from being familiar with somebody. It's Matthew 16, 13 through 18, where Peter say, I know who you are. When Jesus say, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah, some say Isaiah. Somebody say John the Baptist come from the dead. Jesus say, but who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter say, I got it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Well, how does God reveal things to us? There's absolutely no revelation apart from the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that is God, the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. Supernatural revelation. Notice of the mind of Christ concerning certain facts of the past and of the present of a person. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts that's in the mind of God. Some details from the infinite knowledge of God are given to a person. The preposition of the word of knowledge must be taken note of. It is not a word of knowledge, but it is the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, it's a fragment of the knowledge of God. But it is the specific word that is needed for that situation or for that person that is involved. It is not only a specific word, it is the exact word. There's absolutely no guesswork involved because it is the revelation of facts. The word of knowledge. It's not naturally acquired knowledge. Anything that is acquired is called an accomplishment, and it is not a gift. It is not a divine knowledge. It is not a divine knowledge that is acquired by long years of studying or spending time with God. And the word of knowledge. It is not gained through our walk with God. The revelation gifts, now y'all know the three revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Those are the three revelation gifts. Now, we're going to learn that these gifts are revelation gifts. They are revelatory, but they flow through prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The three speaking gifts. Remember, we studied that in the beginning, that the prophetic flow of the speaking gifts caused all of the other gifts to manifest in a greater form. Go ahead. The revelation gifts, they are not vocal gifts. They only become vocal, or they flow through vocal gifts when they are shared and when they are spoken out. They still remain as revelation gifts, even if the revelation that is received is not spoken out. When we make vocal the secret word we receive, we are operating through another gift, which is the gift of prophecy. This gift is a supernatural manifestation, as are all of the nine manifestations of the Spirit. Chapter number 10. Moving in the word of knowledge. the foundations for operating in the word of knowledge. In revision, we know that prophecy comes to us in seven ways. Number one, when we receive the actual words of a message. Number two, when we receive the sense of a message. Number three, when we receive the first words of a message. Number four, when we receive a vision and an interpretation. Number five, when we receive a message through a song. Number six, when we receive a rhema word through the remembrance of scripture. And number seven, when we receive an activation through the prophetic anointing of others. The word of knowledge comes supernaturally, as does prophecy. However, it does not always come in the same way as prophecy comes. Now let's establish the highway of prophecy. It is essential to enable the progressive development of the word of knowledge. A person must develop the seven ways of receiving prophecy until prophecy is flowing freely and coming forth abundantly in its contents, and it is progressively established in truths. This ensures our ability to receive God's word continuously. Now let's talk about how to minister effectively the word of knowledge. First, we receive certain facts from the Holy Spirit. These facts, they are not accumulated, neither are they acquired knowledge. Guesswork is totally foreign to the operation of the gift of the word of knowledge. These facts that we're given by the Spirit are people related. They revolve around people's lives and their situations. These facts concern the past or the present happenings of their lives. The incidents are situations that are revealed to cover either their past life experiences or their present involvement or environment. We need to receive a work of confirmation within our hearts to ascertain if these facts that are received are of the Lord. We do not speak the word of knowledge out in doubt and hope that God will confirm it. God does not confirm our doubts. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with or to our spirits that the revelations are true. Romans 8:16 declares, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So in the same way that the Holy Spirit can bear witness with our spirits that we are the children of God, that same Holy Spirit can bear witness that the words that we're receiving from God is him talking to us. Now, when you function in the gift of the word of knowledge, once again, you got to do it with boldness. That's why you have to take time to be developed, because you don't have time to be thinking about the crowd and what people going to think. And you know, what's being said. You got, put it another way, Dr. Walker. All reasoning got to be eliminated because it's satanic activity that's trying to keep you from moving forth. Go ahead. It is this sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that reduces doubts and uncertainties. A person must be able to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit apart from other voices. Establishing the highway of prophecy helps us to develop this degree of sensitivity. We must be quick in judging the source, knowing the confirmation of the Holy Spirit, and gaining confidence in speaking it forth. We must know what to do with these revealed facts. Now watch this. Pay very close attention to this. Not all words of knowledge must be spoken. Now let me say this, and there's a reason I must say this. In the body of Christ, we have used the nine manifestations to almost, in a sense, prove that we're spiritual. Let me talk to you for a second. The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit can speak through a donkey, then he can speak through a human. And the reason I say that is these gifts are not to make us spiritual. These gifts are to strengthen, edify, build up, set free, get people out of bondage. So when functioning in these gifts, we must always remember it is as the Spirit will. Not Dr. Walker, not Apostle Thompson, as the Spirit wills, he reveals and make known. And if we spend time with him, we can be very certain of him speaking. And then when you're certain about anything, you become confident and you become bold. Go ahead.
Sometimes God may want you to speak it out.
Sometimes God may want you to speak it out.
Or at other times
to pray about it. Now, all that I said before was for that reason. You don't have to say things out to prove to people you are spiritual and you are hearing from God. There are times God gives you stuff and he don't want you to tell nobody. I've held things from people for 10 years. You want me to tell you why? The Holy Spirit will say things to you like this. Well, you can find this in St. John 16 and 12. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you are not able to bear them now. Sometimes a person is not ready to receive what God reveals. So you have to pray and see when it's time for it to be revealed, he'll give you that push. You'll know. And if he don't want you to say nothing, he'll let you know. Because the minute you go to open your mouth, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. You'll know. He'll shut you down. Mm. Okay. Go ahead.
Occasionally.
God may want you to call the person out
to minister to them.
We must do according
to what the Lord tells us
with the revealed facts. Now, I've been around Apostle Thompson since 98. I have seen him function in these realms. I've seen him withhold information. I've seen him call people out. And let me say this. The reason we know no guesswork is involved, because when he calls them out and reveals to them what God told him to tell them, bank on it. It may take time for it to develop, but it always shows up. And that's what we have to move into, because it don't take God long to do all this stuff that people be talking about. You should be seeing progression. But a part of it, too, is we must learn to cooperate with what God is giving us. Seek God about it. Go ahead.
When moving in the gift,
always minister
as the word of knowledge,
and do not just speak it
out
like you just given information.
God wants ministers
and not reporters. Sometimes we communicate the revealed facts as though we're only informing the people concerned that we know these things about them. Now, let me say this. When it say minister to a person, there's ink on it. What does that mean? There is an anointing that comes when you're functioning in the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and in special faith and in the gifts of healing and the working of miracles and special faith and diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues and discerning of spirits. It's, watch what I'm about to say. It's an unction to function. It's an unction to function. You know, the Holy Spirit is real. And when he comes up on you, we already have him within at the new birth. You know, he's a well of water at the new birth. But the well can turn into a river. In St. John 4, it was the well of water. That's why Jesus met the woman at the well. And Jesus said, the water that I give you shall be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. In St. John chapter number 7, around verse number 37, Jesus said in that great day of the feast, he cried out and saying, let's see. He cried out and said, turn to it. That great day of the feast. In that last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried saying, there it is. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, that river of living water, remember, the Holy Spirit, it was a well. But in order for the well to spring up, it must become a river. Rivers flow. They don't just sit. They flow. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's one level to be born of the Spirit. It's another level to be filled with the Spirit to the overflow. So speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, you read it. And they were all filled. And they were all filled, not some of them. Some didn't cry because, you know, people have all of these religious ideologies about being filled with the Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Watch this, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, you will notice in the verses above that, oh, goodness, I don't want to have to go through all of that, but, all right, oh, Lord. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were what? You didn't get it. Acts 2, 1 through 4, where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now notice, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire that sat upon each of them. You remember in Matthew's Gospel chapter number 3, Jesus, John the Baptist say, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's one that cometh after me whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. John said, it is he that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So if you want to know the difference between the baptisms, when you first receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is the one baptism that saves you. The agent of that one baptism is the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. But there's more than one baptism. That's the baptism whereby you're saved. But after you get saved, there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire. And it comes with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So don't let nobody talk you out of it. Tongues are for a sign. And you are a sign. Go ahead.
Sometimes
the operator of the gift of the word of knowledge
receives a sensation
or a sense of pain or a ache in his or her body, especially when the word of knowledge is accompanied with the gifts of healing. In other words, they flow together. Go ahead. Let not the operator of the gift misunderstand the means of revelation that is coming to him and mistake it as his own physical ailment or infirmity. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and wait on our gifts with alertness. Lastly, the word of knowledge, it may come through a vision. We may see the person involved. And we may see the details of the events surrounding that person in picture form.
Describing the picture as we see it.
And ministering to that need will release the person involved in the same way as we would minister through other avenues of the word of knowledge. How to increase the impact of ministering in the gift. Number one, minister in faith because we've heard God's voice and we have received it by revelation. Number two, use strong prophetic language. What do you mean by that? If you study, especially when you look at the ministry of the prophet in the Old Testament, you will always see these words. The word of the Lord came to me for you saying, or the word of the Lord came unto me for you saying. You know, now you don't want to get to using phrases where it's like a parakeet. You understand? But when it's flowing, people know it's authentic. When the word of the Lord comes to you for someone, it's all right to say it. The word of the Lord came to me for you. Specific saying. Go ahead.
Put the facts
into the gift of prophecy
and launch it.
Number three.
Get people to respond
as they are hearing,
even in their seats.
Stir up their faith.
To respond while they are hearing.
Faith is the product of the human spirit.
It's not just
a mental assent. In other words, you're just agreeing to something in your head.
Number four.
Speak clearly and speak boldly.
Faith comes through a spirit voice.
If necessary, repeat what's being revealed to us.
If we feel that the word
was not properly understood.
Romans
chapter number 10, verses 8 through 10.
But what saith it?
The word is nigh thee.
It is even in thy mouth.
And it is in thy heart.
That is the word of faith,
which we preach.
That if thou shalt confess
with thy mouth
the Lord Jesus,
and shall believe in thine heart
that
God had raised him from the dead,
thou shalt
be saved.
For with the heart,
notice that,
for with the heart man
believeth unto
righteousness,
and with the mouth
confession is made
unto salvation.
Now, you notice the
writer said that
faith is of the human
spirit.
But
I want you to also know
faith is the anchor of your
soul. Faith is the anchor of your soul. That's why in Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, let's take it to another level, because apostles have been training and teaching us for years. See, the spirit, the soul, and the body must be in divine alignment. God's word, believe it or not, the spirit of God's word is intended to change the way you think. It is to deal with your soul. Your spirit man, your born again, recreated spirit being contains the Holy Ghost. God said, I will not dwell in temple made with hands. I'm going to dwell in my people. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of my born again, recreated human spirit. God's divine nature is on the inside of me. But if I'm going to move in the things of God, I got to renew my mind so I'll be able to receive freely the things that God is giving me without going through all of that reasoning that comes from too much time with the secular. Go ahead. Number five.
Follow up on this operation.
Later on. If necessary. Not everyone knows. How to receive directly from God.
Some are so used.
To being personally ministered to.
By men.
That they often.
Wait for an altar call.
If we want to follow up with an altar call,
we need first to encourage those
who've already received their miracle
to come forth and testify.
This enriches the faith of others
at the altar,
and it also confirms
to those sitting.
That they can receive their miracle
right where they are,
as long as faith is active,
and miracles will confirm it.
Now we're gonna go to examples of the gift of the word of knowledge in the scriptures in manifestation. The gift can be manifested through visions.
The word of knowledge
came through a vision when the apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos.
Revelation
chapter number 1, verses 9 through 20. John wrote, notice this, John wrote that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and Jesus appeared unto him in a vision. In this vision, Jesus revealed to John the condition of the seven churches that were in the Asia Minor, as recorded in the book of Revelation. Although there's a prophetic message
for us today,
in this revelation, these seven churches
actually existed
at that time
in the Asia Minor,
which is a very important point to make, because whatever God has said, he is saying. See, that's why when you read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where John recorded what the Lord Jesus spoke to him, he would repeat these words. He that hath an ear to hear, let him be hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. Go ahead. John, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos,
could not have possibly known
what was going on in those seven cities and in those seven churches. But the Lord Jesus revealed their spiritual condition
to him.
That was a word of knowledge. Now, you will notice that it said that was a word of knowledge, but the gift is the word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge because it's being spoken to a specific person. Go ahead. Or church. Church, remember, the church is people, not a building. Okay, go ahead. Another example of the gift of the word of knowledge is found in Acts chapter number 9, now verses 10 through 12. Okay. I'm out of time for this evening.